Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm dancing with my shoulders today.
No. You look like, you know when they take those exercise people into old people's homes and the old people sit in chairs and they're encouraged to move their shoulders?
I do. It's called move it or lose it. It's a whole movement, you know, a whole exercise thing.
You look like an old person sitting in a chair in old people's home, moving your shoulders. We're sitting in our own mess.
I'm going to flounce off. I'm. That's it. I'm off.
Bye. Oh, by the way, let's introduce ourselves. I am Jenny Eclair.
And I'm Judith Holder.
Together we are Older and Wider.
God, we sound like the Teletubbies.
God, that was great. That was almost choreographed. That was almost like we rehearsed it, which would be tragic if we had. Okay, how are we feeling? It's still January is dragging on.
Oh, January is a tough old month, isn't it?
You've got post-wedding come down.
I have, really. Yes, I have got post-wedding come down.
It was
a lot of work, but it was a lot to look forward to. And then all of a sudden, it's just a load of lost property and a bridal dress to have dry cleaned. That's what she's left me with.
How stained is the bridal dress?
Well, it's not that stained, but, you know, I mean, the size of it is ridiculous. I had to put it in the boot of the car yesterday to take it to the dry cleaners. I mean, you know, it's absolutely huge. You can barely sort of carry it as I'm walking it to the dry cleaners. But guess how much they quoted me for cleaning it? It's not disgusting, but it's got kind of grey bits all over the bottom where the shoes were. Well, you know, bits of dirt and everything, bits of... Yeah, not mud, but anyway, yes. Go
Rolling
on.
Around the mud. A post-coital, post-wedding shag, maybe.
Well, I wasn't going to go there, but yeah.
Maybe. Okay, I'd say £35.
Oh, so much more.
Go on.
£135.
That's more than the dress cost, surely.
Well, sadly not. And
what's she going to use it for again?
I know. £85 apparently to have the box to put it in afterwards.
Sorry, they're charging £85 for a box.
A special kind of
it's
wedding.
It's like a coffin. Yeah. If I'm going to pay £85 for a box, I want to be able to get buried in it.
Well, that's quite a good doubling up, isn't it?
In the dress, actually. Yeah. Just to spite everybody.
Well, do you know, that might be quite a good use.
You've lost all that weight.
Yeah, quite a good use for it. No, it's terrible. I don't know why she doesn't put it on eBay. That's what she should. In fact, I might suggest that tonight when I see her, but she'll hate the idea.
Oh, I think it's a bit fresh.
Do you?
She's not been married a month.
Oh, you might.
Yet.
Yeah, you're probably right. Might have to leave it.
Give it 6 months.
But I'm not having it clean for that much. I'm going to dunk it in the bath. I went. Yeah.
Did you not get?
No, I thought I'm not paying £135. It'll be end
plus £85
for the box. No, I thought I'd have a go at dunking it. The problem is, where on earth do you dry it? Because it's so big.
Well, if it's only the hem that's a little bit grubby, I think a bath dunk is...
A bath dunk. But then, OK, that's fine. But then where do I hang it to dry? Except out of the window, possibly.
You've got a very big garden. I suppose you have a washing line in your garden.
Yeah, but it's not high enough. Oh. We're now talking into sort of suspending between... This is the kind of thought process that's already started to take shape in my mind.
Because it's exhausting.
Yes, it is exhausting.
The mother, the bride,
and will she care? Of course she won't care.
I would get... Okay, clothesline nightstand. Prop it up so it's high.
Well,
hang
the
dress
off it.
Prop
it up on what?
I don't know. Your clothes prop.
I think it's going to have to go. Be suspended from one window to the other, I can see.
Okay, I'd do that.
Yeah.
Set up a washing line between windows.
Yes. Like a trapeze.
A garden hose.
Oh, a garden hose to rinse it.
Yeah.
Like that. Like that.
A Karcher. You know those Karcher machines?
Oh, I like a Karcher.
Right. That's Karcher.
That is better than squeezing spots.
Karchering the patio.
Oh! Sorry, I'm sounding...
Really loud. Oh, she's touching her breast. She's talking about cartering the patio.
That is what I'm going to do at the weekend. That is so what I'm going to do this weekend.
Patio or wedding dress?
Oh, no, the wedding dress will have to wait for better weather. Now I'm going to get the carter thing out. Hours of fun I could get out of that. No, I'm sorry. That's all day Saturday and possibly Sunday. As long as it's not raining.
Because I've been employing somebody to do it for me. I didn't know I could get so much pleasure out of it myself.
Oh,
absolutely. Why hasn't he been paying me?
Well, he should have been, absolutely.
The cheeky tyke.
Yeah. Imagine you haven't got very much patio. He's all gravel.
All right, we're not.
Gravel at the end, at the bottom of your garden.
It's not gravel.
We've got a lot of pebble.
We've got a lot of pebble.
Yeah, whatever.
The empty nest.
Oh, it's hard. It is hard. And now she's married, it feels, you know, like I can't really talk about Sienna's room at home anymore. That's ridiculous, isn't it? You know, where are you going? Oh, can you put that up in Sienna's room? It's not really Sienna's room anymore.
Mrs. What's her surname?
Oh, I have to think, don't I? Yes. Kaplan.
Mrs. Kaplan. You could say, put it up in Mrs. Kaplan's room. Mrs. Kaplan's room. I think it's probably time to turn Mrs. Kaplan's room into a hobby / craft / exercise studio for yourself. Because Mike's got that shed in the back garden.
I'm so angry that I gave him that shed.
Always been very, very jealous.
I can't tell you. I don't know what came over me when we bought that house. I thought, well, I don't want his African crap and his jukebox in the house. So I'll do a deal.
It's an odd mix, isn't it?
Well, it is, actually.
Death masks and a jukebox.
Oh, yeah, I don't want any of that crap in the house. So you can have the summer house as long as none of the crap comes indoors. Yeah. Every time I walk past that summer house, I think it's his and so should be mine.
You can hear that jukebox whirring
away. Yeah, it's a mess in there. He takes no pride in it. I would have, do you know, there's even a wood-burning stove in there. Never lights it. I'd be in there all the time. I'd have gingham up on the curtains up. I'd have my sewing machine out. I'd have some nice music on.
All I'm saying, you can do that in Mrs. Kaplan's room now. Move into Mrs. Kaplan's.
Why can't he? Better still, he could have Mrs. Kaplan's room, but I could move into the summer house. That's a much better plan all round. He's not moving, though. I've tried.
We've sorted that out, then. That's how to get over the empty
nest. Or I could buy a puppy. I'm starting to think about that again now. If you looked at my Google search history, starting to be a few Cocker Spaniels now.
So why the Cocker Spaniel? Because you've been a Labrador.
No, I don't know. I know that I'm getting too old now to have a Labrador because the turds are too big.
Okay. Too heavy to lift.
Well, they're too big.
How big are these?
And you can't lift a Labrador over a stile, can you? They're impractical or into the back of the car.
That's why the only dog I want is a Dachshund.
Yeah, I don't share you. I think they're a bit...
No, I love them. They're funny little intelligent faces and they're beady eyes.
Are you ever going to get one?
No, of course not.
Neither of us are. Are we? We're just going to fantasise about it.
You probably will.
I might get a Cocker Spaniel.
Because you live in that kind. You have that kind of lifestyle.
But you know what? And this is really scary. And I've only just realised this when I was just about to say it. But I think part of my motivation for getting a puppy is that the girls will come back home and see it. That is really sad, isn't it? So basically, it's the kind of denial of empty nest syndrome still, isn't it?
Yeah, Mrs. Kaplan might get her own dog.
Oh, stop it! She might,
and
actually.
And then she'll use that as an excuse
too
not
busy
to come and see
you. That's right, can't.
Sorry, can't
look
bring
after
the dog.
The
dog's car sick, can't bring it.
Oh, I think if I get a whiff of that, I might just quickly get one.
It's very difficult. I think that we're at a difficult time of our lives. We're not quite sure where we're going next, whether the work's going to continue to come in.
Exactly.
Do we retire? How do we retire? I wrote about this. I mentioned it in an Independent article the other week. And it was triggered from Tim Henman having to retire early.
Yeah.
Was it Tim Henman?
Not that early. How old is he?
I've got the wrong tennis player.
Oh, Andy Murray.
Yeah, Andy Murray. Tim Henman.
I knew what you meant.
They're exactly the same, aren't they? So you're 63, so you're 5 years ahead of me.
Well, and I don't get my pension, and this is the point, until I'm 66.
Well, it'll probably be 70 by the time I get there.
Well, yes, it'll probably be 70 by the time I get there as well. They'll just keep moving the goalposts. But no, it is a dilemma, isn't it? And I know loads of people, perhaps more than half of the men in this country, are still working when they're 65. I kind of seem to still have this need to prove myself. We were talking about this, weren't we, before? But, you know, I still kind of need to tell the world that I am, oh, look at me, you know, I'm still working. Look at me, I'm still doing this, I'm still doing that. Look how interesting I am. And I think I have always been a bit like that. Work has always defined me, as it does loads and loads of people.
I can't afford not to work.
Well, plus I can't afford, no, neither can I. But the pension thing is a real problem, isn't it?
I've got a brilliant idea. You know, have Mrs.
You?
Kaplan's spare room?
Yeah.
Get a lodger. You take all the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I couldn't think of anything worse.
That always happens in sitcoms, though, doesn't it? That's exactly what happens in a sitcom. Somebody moves out, woman gets empty nest, and a lodger moves in.
Yeah.
It's the usual storyline, but I can see the sense in it. But, I mean, you know, what are we supposed to do? I can't work in B&Q because I don't know anything about, you know,
DIY. They'd train you up, Judith.
They probably would, actually.
You'd be
Waitrose.
Excellent.
I'd be all right at Waitrose.
Do you know what? I think that B&Q or Waitrose, if you got a job in a shop or something, I think within 6 months, you'd probably be in a managerial position.
No, not at 63. You must be kidding.
Do you know, if you were, you know, last week we did a podcast with Bryony Kimmings. She would do a show about this and she would immerse herself really deeply and she'd get a job in B&Q. I kind of feel like challenging you.
So maybe I should pretend that it's sort of artistic research, but actually just get a job at Waitrose and pretend to all my friends that I'm not, it's not that I want a job in Waitrose, but just that it's research for my next project with a capital P.
Yeah.
Actually, I like that.
What? This is something we might pitch to a TV station.
Yeah, yeah. The problem I'd have with Waitrose is that because my glasses aren't variofocal because they make me dizzy, is I'd have to keep taking them on and off all the time.
Nobody would want to come to your till. Oh, God, that slow woman's on the till.
I might be all right slicing the ham, but then I'd have to make sure I'd got my glasses on, wouldn't I?
God, can you imagine the blood?
Yeah.
A blooded ham? Do you want blooded ham? Oh, with extra gore? That's a terrible thing. I've got sort of semi-empty, well, I've got empty nest because Phoebe's moved out, but she doesn't live too far away.
No, well, that's nice. That's
I'm glad to say. It's under a tenner in an Uber.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the middle of the night when I miss her very badly.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, in the middle of the night? It's under a tenner in an Uber.
Yeah.
I wonder how she'd feel if I just pitched up now. It's only 1 o'clock.
I don't seriously think that. Sometimes I do.
Yeah, I do.
God, I thought I had it bad.
Yeah.
Blimey.
I don't think about retirement yet because I haven't got enough money and I wouldn't know what to do with myself. And then I'd get very depressed. I know, you see, with me, when I get very depressed, I can't help myself. Because as we know, as women who have had down moments in our lives, there are things we can do, positive things we can do to pick ourselves out of the depths. I think that what we need to do is, when we think about retirement, we have to sort of go into a semi-retired mode first. I think that for us, it's very important not to go the whole hog straight off. I think we have to go, if retirement is staring us in the face, and for you and I who are freelancers, it's because, you know, the phone stopped ringing.
Absolutely.
It's nothing to do with us. Nobody's given us a gold clock, a handshake and a pension. They have just stopped phoning us up and asking us to do things. So you have to go, right, I can still continue with my own projects that I will, you know, galvanise myself. But in the time I will allow myself several hours a day to practice for retirement.
Right.
Because I think we need to practice for retirement.
Yes, we do. Practice for old age.
It's like a, just for not feeling guilty about having downtime and stretching, because I think that when you've been a freelancer and a writer at home, you sort of say, right, I'm allowed to stop at 7 o'clock. Well, if the projects aren't going to fill that time till 7 o'clock, I think you should start saying, right, I now work till 4 o'clock and I spend those 3 hours that I spend in front of my computer doing something else.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent idea. So is that what you're doing?
No. Obviously not, but I think that probably is the way forward.
No, I think that's a very good way of looking at it.
Yes.
Mind you, don't like the term semi-retired, do you? How many people have you met and they've said, oh, I'm semi-retired, and you think, you're not fully retired.
Yeah.
You know.
You're a nuisance. Get out of my way. Look at you. I live with somebody who has not retired. He doesn't know, just doesn't know how to, and he's 70 and still working full-time as a designer. And I mean, I think that also what happens with us is that we get into a slightly competitive thing.
Oh, do you?
Whereby he's in his study till 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. I'm in my study till 7 o'clock. Sometimes I'm lying on the floor having a kit, but don't tell him that.
Good, good.
But, and so we kind of aren't allowing each other. And really, it's my job as the younger, generous female part of the relationship to sort of say to him, listen, you know, give yourself a bit more of a break.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is getting a bit worrying now. He's overworking.
Yeah, and will he retire one day? What will happen? Will he?
I think one day he might fall down the stairs and that'd be it.
You're greasing
I don't know.
You're actually greasing
You know that lard.
I know about you and Jeff, but you've been listening to Audible together. That's practicing retirement, isn't it? That's a nice leisure activity that you're doing together. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that it's a tricky thing, isn't it, when we're talking about technology and screen time. And there's a lot of people who sneer at how much time you spend on social media and how much time you spend on the YouTube things. But a lot of these things can be used for the good.
Mm.
For example, as you were talking about, the Audible that Jeff and I share, we have a joint book on the go. And it's, you know, that J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Or as I call her, J.K. Rowling in it, because she's got a lot of money. See, my joke. We are sharing at the moment, J.K. Rowling, under another name,
oh, yes. Galbraith, yes,
writes the Cormoran Strike series. The latest one, God knows what it's called.
How many pages into this book are you that you don't know the title of?
Well, the thing is, we are, it's called White Something. Lethal White. It's called Lethal White. And it has many chapters, probably about 60 chapters. And they're all almost half an hour long sort of thing.
Yeah.
So we have half an hour at bedtime together.
Oh, how sweet.
Yes, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a shared hobby.
Do you have one bit of an earphone each, or you had it on loudspeaker?
Well, not loudspeaker, just normal. Just
on the pillow?
Yes, on the pillow between us.
Oh!
But the thing is, Judith, because I like to drink wine before I go to bed.
Yes, I've noticed that.
I fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow. I've had two big glasses of wine, and I listen to a bit of story, and then I'm out to the count. And then Jeff listens because he's a bit of a schoolie. Once he's in a story, he'll listen. And I put it on a half-hour timer. And he'll listen all the way through the half an hour. And in the morning, I wake up and I go, I think I might have fallen asleep. I might have fallen asleep before it was a half an hour. He said, you fell asleep within 5 minutes. I suppose we have to listen to that half an hour all over again.
Oh, no. So does that...
We started chapter 47 eight times.
That's very trying, isn't he? He's very patient, isn't he?
Very patient. But by that time, it's got quite complicated. There are a lot of people in the frame that could have done it. Or was it a suicide? I don't think so. And it goes. And anyway, so we're getting our money's worth out of it.
You are, aren't you?
Talking of technology, you bleated to me earlier that you're slightly worried about your phone use.
Well, for some reason, my phone has started sending me messages saying how long each day I'm spending on screen. You know, this is a woman that sort of complained about everybody being on screen all the time. Can't believe how much time, you know, everybody around me, us all the time is on it. Guess how much? It sent me a message. It's sending me a message every day to say how much time, at the end of the day, how much time I've been on screen every day. Guess what? Guess how much?
When you say the end of the day, does it decide what time your end of the day is? Is that about 7 o'clock?
Yeah, it varies. But actually, thinking about it, that's probably exactly what it does. It knows that's when I generally sort of put
it down. Switch off, yes.
Yeah.
You're very good at putting your phone down about 6 o'clock,
I think.
I'm not
that good. No, because the girls might send me a WhatsApp. So I'm kind of, you know, I'm on the lookout.
Okay.
But yes,
I would
generally
say that in a day...
Yeah.
On social media. Well, we're talking about on your phone. Are we talking about making telephone calls and emails?
Well, I don't make any telephone calls, but yeah. You know, no, just screen time on my phone. Not on my computer, screen time on my phone.
3 hours a day. No,
actually,
that's far too much.
No, it's a bit less, but it's not much less. I think on average it's something like 2 hours, 35 minutes a day. And I was really shocked about that.
So
really shocked.
How would you break that down?
It was a lot of social media.
But you don't use Twitter much, so is it Facebook?
I do a bit.
Twitter. A lot of Twitter stalking.
It's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And I think looking things up. I think there's quite a lot of sort of stuff that I'm... Actually, there's a lot of rightmove.com, if I'm honest. An awful lot of looking at beach houses. And
is there quite a lot of medical stuff as well?
There's quite a lot of that,
quite
a lot of that.
The medical stuff,
But yes, there's an awful lot of puppies for sale in Oxfordshire, beach huts. Yeah, there's a lot of all that.
So looking for another life, basically.
Looking for another
Googling
one.
Another life.
Jenny, I think that's what it is.
Googling another life.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Last podcast, we had a young Ian. We've got another old bag coming in now. Maria McElhaney and I have never known how to pronounce her surname.
You do it like that.
McElhaney. I don't know. I'll check her. When she comes in, I'll ask her. I've never asked her. I've known her for 30 years. I've always mispronounced it. We did some work together many years ago and we fell out. And I haven't seen her for ages. It's going to be interesting.
Well, yes, I hope you've resolved your differences.
Not yet. We'll see what happens when she comes in.
Interesting.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Do you know what, Maria? I have known you for a very long time.
200 years.
242. And you're older than me.
Yes.
I have never known how to pronounce your surname properly. Well, go on.
That's how much you care. McAlane.
McAlane. I sometimes call you Maria McAlane.
Yeah, no, I don't mind that. McAlane.
I don't have any trouble at all with your surname.
Thank you, Judith.
I remember Maria. Maria McAlane, who you will know from the Graham Norton show. We have to say thank you very much for our plug. We heard you say.
Yes.
You mentioned our podcast.
You didn't need to get me on just because of that. Well, I just thought that the title was actually really brilliant.
So you hadn't even heard one.
But I've caught up on them since, and I remember you were interviewing Kay Flett and you said to her, well, you're wearing a tunic, and I thought, well, I'm not going to make that mistake.
You're wearing a close fitting.
I am.
You're quite, a very good figure.
Quite tight
very
fitting.
Maria has always had it. She's always been like that. She's been obsessed.
But I don't have any children.
Yeah. You see, the breasts.
So, you know, it swings them around about.
The breasts are incredible, actually. I would give you 10 out of 10.
I don't
for the
like
breasts.
What you do with your hands.
I'm cupping them
that, Jenny,
like
I have
Maria's
to say.
Up. They're solid. They're high
no,
up.
No, no.
They're
not
pert.
Actually that big for your cuppy hands. They are more the champagne glass.
No, that very,
they
very call
they
shape,
are the champagne
Maria.
Bowl sort of thing. That one. Yeah, they're very good indeed. Got your dog in here as
oh,
well.
Oh, I want
yes,
the
because
dog.
Judith is interested in dogs,
I
and I
that.
Thought the dog is a charming thing.
Oh,
if you
I
like
know.
That
she knows that there's a biscuit in that bag.
Right.
Oh, it's an adorable
Made
dog.
Terrible
Maria.
Error.
I love. I've got terrible empty nest, and
yes,
I really,
no, I've just been
really
told because your daughter just got it married.
Yes.
They're quite hard work.
Yes. What dogs are?
Well, especially if you get a puppy, you know, it's sort of quite tedious.
Yeah,
she
suppose.
Might not live that long either. She should get a really old dog, shouldn't she? She should have one that's sort of
at the same age as you,
yeah.
Judith.
Oh, fuck you!
I don't know how old you are.
Well, I'm older than you.
No, but in dog years, you see, you've
oh,
got
that's true.
You're doing
yes.
well.
Yeah.
But no, people say that a dog is a child substitute, but it isn't. And I know that because her piano teacher told me. How much do you get for jokes on this thing?
When I first met you, you see, you were a stand-up. You had a different surname, which is why I've always struggled with McElhaney.
Oh, yes.
Maria Callas, do you remember her?
Yes, I do.
She was a hard-faced stand-up. Maria and I, we have history together from the circuit and Camberwell. Do you not miss Camberwell?
No.
Oh, I don't
I miss your area of Camberwell because that was quite posh.
You were above a mattress shop, weren't you? On the bit going down to Loughborough Junction.
No, I like my flat in Marble Arch, thank you very much.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I like my little place in Hastings. So it's
beautiful. You see, you're doing all the things that I want to do.
Oh, do
you've
you?
Got a dog and you live by the sea, both of which I crave for. I live in Oxfordshire, which couldn't be further than
no,
the sea.
No, that's not so great.
And I've got an empty nest, so I need to get myself sorted out.
Well,
in
you
fact,
need
I might
to change your life,
dog.
Judith. That's what I would say.
She's
no,
Googling.
I need
she's
to get a dog.
Googling a life change at the moment. She's Googling puppies.
If you sent me a problem on Graham Norton show, on Saturday mornings on BBC Radio 2, I would say this is the time, Judith, to make a radical change.
Oh, I love this.
Get a dog,
get loving it, 'cause it's not about me and my tits anymore. Get a dog, change your life, get a little place by the sea to live. But Hastings is very, very popular at the moment as well, you know.
But so, you swim every day, don't you?
I do swim a lot, yes.
Yeah, I'm a big outdoor
swimmer. I went swimming on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. But you liked the gym before anybody else did, back in the 80s, when there weren't even gyms.
That's right, I built my first gym.
You loved a gym. You
on
loved
the
exercise.
Money I earned from Meccano Club.
You did. The Meccano Club was a gig that we all did in, it was in Islington,
that's
wasn't
right.
it? In that basement, yeah.
Camden Head, was it?
And
no,
then
first.
Later on, Maria and I and Julie Ballou wrote a play called 30 Somehow, which was about, do you remember 30 Somehow?
I do.
We took it to Edinburgh and it was this surprise hit of the festival, wasn't
I know,
it?
No, we didn't really understand the reviews, did we? We thought, oh, that's good. One of the reviewers said, beautifully captures the coldness of Thatcher's Britain.
We had no idea
we'd
done
that.
No, we
had no idea. No, we had no idea, but we were thrilled.
Yeah.
So when was this? Was this sort of post-French and
it
Saunders?
Was,
or
oh, yes.
Pre?
It was 1990, because I
around
had,
that time, yeah.
Around 1991, because right. we were around the age of 30, and I just had Phoebe. And, yeah, it, we...
Yes, that's right. You were the only person who'd ever had a baby.
Ever
I
had
a,
yeah.
This
couldn't
running theme.
Understand how they didn't know how difficult it was
my
for
life
me.
Is.
It was so...
How, you have no idea how difficult my life is,
yeah.
was the painful retort of
yeah.
Madame McClaire at that time.
Despite the fact I had a nanny and everything.
Oh, for goodness sake, Jenny, really?
And I had Jeff, who was very hands-on. So let's get back to the puppy, because Judith is
yes.
now...
I've got puppy envy. Yeah. I am sitting here
okay.
looking at her.
Well,
what did you say she's called?
She's a toy poodle. Her name is Dolly, and she's quite small, and she fits in my bicycle in a little bag.
Can you put her in a pushchair?
Well, that would make you look mad.
Yeah,
I think I already look
that.
Slightly
yeah.
mad on a bicycle.
Do you crochet it some clothes?
No,
so have a little
no, because
wardrobe.
It's a dog.
Okay.
Jenny,
but so
I do know people who do, as I'm sure you do as well.
Yes, you'd have to rein yourself in from that.
If you are suffering the thing, this is for your new life, of course.
Yes.
If you are suffering the empty nest, Judith, I would say a nice little companion. Also, gets you out, if you're by the seaside, lovely
oh,
bracing walks.
Well, does she go on bracing walks? She looks a bit little to go on bracing walks.
She does. She's a proper dog.
But when you're cycling along, does she run along
she
or
can
does she...
Do.
Yes,
she can do,
but sometimes she goes in the basket, does she?
Yes, in London town. Not,
poodles are kind of more brave and adventurous than anybody gives them credit for, aren't they? Aren't they great swimmers?
No, she doesn't like to swim, but I don't know. I don't really know very much about the breed, but they are quite bright.
Yeah.
As I say, I have got her into Oxford, so that's quite good. Even though she can't play the piano. Quite hard work at the beginning, so... We can talk about this afterwards if you wish. I will give you full information. But I want to know a little bit about you two now, because you are...
Tables are turned.
Yeah, yeah. No, as the older and wider. Duo, tell me a little bit about the worst thing about being middle-aged.
Well, like you wouldn't know.
Well, no, I'm asking you.
For me, anxiety.
Really?
Huge anxiety.
Because I bumped
and
into you.
And rage.
Yes, no, I bumped into you.
Do you understand the rage?
I can tell. I mean, it's been evident since I sat down, frankly. But I seem to recall talking to you at some book launch or other. I can't remember whose it was. And you said, I have been in a rage for 2 years. Now, what have you done about that rage?
HRT. I went on HRT.
Okay, so has the rage... Clearly, it hasn't helped that much, Jenny.
It has abated to some extent. It's made me sort of less prone to fighting on the street.
But what do you think is the source of this rage?
I think it's hormones. I think that, you know, I got to 52 and suddenly the combination of anxiety and anger was almost too much to bear. And... I was picking fights with strangers kind of thing. It was getting to a point, you know, and I still live in South East London. So it gets to a point
no,
where...
That's not advisable.
Picking fights in South East London suddenly gets to a point where actually somebody's going to get a machete out on you. And you have
not
to...
at 52. Especially as I seem to remember you and I having a fight once and then you said, go on, then hit me. No, don't, because you do aerobics and it'll really hurt.
I remember that. Yes, we were rehearsing and yes, I was furious. That I think I've always been a very angry woman.
Well, I'd say nothing. Judith, what about you? What's the worst thing for you apart from your children leaving home?
I can see why you're good at Grill Graham now. My goodness me, which I love, by the way.
Thank you.
I think I'm in this in-betweeny thing. You see, it's interesting that you said, what's the worst thing about getting middle-aged? And actually, surely at our age, we're not middle-aged. I mean, arithmetically, we're not.
We don't know. We can
we're
go on to we're 100.
Old. So I feel like I'm kind of in this funny sort of teenage thing, like, you know, a teenager with liver spots. That I'm not, you know, I'm
flesh
not really properly old, and I'm not, I'm obviously not young. You know, I'm probably young old.
But they call it the third age, don't they, Judith? I think nice people call it the third age. And I think the third age is a good time to do something different and completely crazy and wild. Are you partnered, Judith?
Yes, I am.
And what
I
does
am.
Partner think about moving?
He's not so keen on that. No, he's not, you see.
They've made the big move down from Hexham to Oxfordshire.
Hexham, is that in Devon?
No, it's in Northumberland.
Oh, Northumberland. Yes, lovely, beautiful.
For all sorts, I know, lots of,
to Oxfordshire, but you're not loving Oxfordshire.
No, there's lots of things that I do absolutely love about Oxfordshire, but it doesn't include the sea. And there is this, there's something about, I think, this stage of being late middle age where you do start to think, listen, if I'm going to do this, I've just bloody well got to do it. And I think I've always wanted to be by the sea. It does something to me.
You're also a wild swimmer.
And I'm a big wild swimmer.
Oh,
so,
you love it.
Yeah, I am.
Sea swimming club goes every day at 12:30.
But I think as you get, you know, I am at that stage where you just think, oh, for goodness sake, if I really do want to do something, I've just got to make it happen.
I do think, going back to the sort of middle age and where it goes into old age, when it lurches into old age, which I'm refusing to acknowledge any age lurching into old age until I can no longer cycle or get out of bed.
Is that
alone.
Your definition of being old?
When you can't do things. I can't cycle anymore, I will get on a plane to Dignitas, I think. But
I can't cycle now.
Oh, no.
I live on top of a very high hill. There's no way I'm ever going to get up.
Well, get an e-bike.
Get an e-bike off eBay.
I'm quite
tempted. E-bag-um.
I am slightly tempted.
But
or
in
maybe
a minute,
I'll get a dog cart.
In a minute, all of us will suddenly be too afeard to do anything.
I've watched people
older than me, sort of who were quite thrusting and this, that, the other, get up on the train, go up to London.
We'll have a fall, won't we? And then we'll lose our nerves.
And then they suddenly start thinking, I don't really need to leave my house. Mm. I don't really need to. And it becomes like a fearfulness. I've seen it in my own mother, who is, you know, 950 now.
How old is your mother?
91.
Yeah, my mother's 89. She's just stopped driving.
Yes.
And there's a bit of me that thinks, thank God. And there's a bit of me that goes, ooh, that's a real shame, because I can see that a bit of her independence is being chipped away.
And eroded.
Because she's had a cataract op and her recovery has been very, very slow. It hasn't been that. She said, you know, if one other person tells me that cataract operations are the miracle of miracles, I shall slap them, because her recovery has been...
Like mother, like daughter.
but it's a horrible thing to see my mother suddenly...
Yes.
Well, because your world shrinks, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I suppose the people who survive old age best are people that don't have very grand sorts of ambitions, really, about what they want to do. I mean, I had an aunt who was terribly modest in what she liked doing. You know, she'd say, oh, we've had a nice walk to the end of the road today,
Judith.
Oh,
dear, sounds depressing.
No, she wasn't. I think in some ways, if there's a training for old age, it is, I suppose, to get used to sort of
To lower
doing
your
that.
Standards.
To lo- yeah.
For or expectations.
Horizon.
I don't... We're not that keen on
well,
that.
Well, that's because you're still in denial. We need to practice with some jigsaws.
But why... No,
don't
not
we?
In denial, Judith. Why can't we keep going? I mean, keep reading, keep listening,
well,
keep
that.
Being curious, etc.,
oh,
etc.
Absolutely.
No, whereas a trip to the end of the road would bore me bridges.
Suppose, yeah, so, yes.
Yeah. I think that we were talking earlier, actually, about the training for retirement, about sort of taking a couple of hours a day to say, I am allowed to do something for my own leisure that is not work.
Yeah. But why are you only giving yourself 2 hours a day for leisure activities?
Well, I'm still trying to work.
I know, but you don't have to work that much, surely. I feel...
I'm still writing books.
Oh, yes, you are. Now, that's good.
They're quite... long-winded.
I did very much enjoy your moving book, which I think I did mention on the radio once upon a time.
And great, moving. Yeah, moving was the last one. Yeah. I've got another one coming out this year, fingers crossed and everything. All
good,
that.
So good. Yeah. Fingers crossed for Brexit and that we all aren't scratching around in the gutter for something to eat.
Yes.
Hey! I feel like Mark Steele now. Mark Steele came to Hastings the other day. Mark Steele.
Oh, I heard
town.
It. I heard it. He was very good, wasn't he?
He was charmingly perceptive about the nutters that live there, frankly. And there are a lot of nutters, and they do call them filth, which is failed in London, try Hastings, as an acronym.
Right.
And there is an... I was thinking on the way here, there's an awful lot of that, of people that nobody really, it's nice because there's no competition, because no one really asks you anything about your previous life because they're frightened of the answer. You know, it might kind of all implode and come explode
because
in their face.
People escape to people Hastings escape from to stuff.
Hastings, and they think that, you know, it will all be fine because I'll start a new life. But of course, you take yourself with you wherever you go.
Very perceptive.
Yeah, I hope you're listening to that, Judith.
I am. You're very perceptive. I can absolutely see why you're good at Grill Graham. You are. You're very.
What about my life? What should I do? You told me.
No, we're still on. I want to hear about Hastings.
Yeah. I'll come back to you in a minute, Jenny.
So how long have you lived in Hastings?
I've been there for about 14 years, but not full time. I've kept my London flat.
Sure.
It's been rented at times, but I've got a nice little cottage and I can see the sea and hear the sea.
You can see the sea from your living room.
And my expectations, I think, are very different now to what they to when I first arrived there.
That's what you just said, though.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's true.
So if you're not careful, you'd be walking to the end of the road and thinking, that's enough for me.
Yeah. So, you know, a seaside town is not lovely the whole time. It can be very Byronesque and poetic when the rain comes and the winds come, etc. So, I mean, it is about perspective. It's about taking the bits that you want from anywhere you are, I think.
But I think as I get older, I need to be exposed to the outdoors so much more than I needed to when I was younger.
Why do you think that?
I don't know. I don't know why that happens. But
gardening?
Gardening. Yes.
Or a lot
deaf aid.
Hardening. I like that.
You've always been like that. Ever since we've worked together, because I'm not fussed about outdoors.
No, you don't really
get it, do you? If I didn't go out of a daytime, it wouldn't bother me that much.
No.
But when we've written together, when you lived up in Hexham, even when the weather was awful, you would say at lunchtime, I have to stop now. I have to go out and get some fresh air.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think, really?
Yeah, you don't get that, do you?
No,
which
not
is
at
peculiar.
All.
I think there are different types of people, though. But I, you know, it is an ageing thing that makes you want to get out there more.
It? And I think it happens more,
the
yes.
The hippocampus or hypothalamus or whatever it is that the sun needs to get into via the eyes. It's very important, vitamin D, very important for the soul, a bit like sea swimming, you know, jolts your body back
makes
into...
Makes you feel alive. I think if I'm sitting at my desk, I don't feel alive. No. I've got
to get out for a walk, Jenny. Get out for a walk.
So how is it being a single woman in your 60s?
I really like it.
Oh.
I really like
it. What do you like about it?
I like not having to answer to anybody. I like being able to get up in the middle of the night and have a cup of tea. I like being able to go in places without having to say this is and whether or not they're okay and are they having a nice time. I realise that thing of, you know, when you get to a certain age, you have to be responsible for you having a nice time wherever you are. If you're going to a party, there's an involvement that you have to commit to have a nice time at a party. You can't just sit there going, oh, I hate parties. Why doesn't someone come and talk to me? I really hate parties. I'm really rubbish at parties. It's good. I'm quite sociable. I travel better alone, I think. But all my women friends about our age, none of them seem to have sex with their husbands. I'm sort of quite intrigued by this. Because if I do want to have sex, I can have sex with a younger person and then kill them and bury them in my back garden.
Have you got quite a few in the garden?
Well, I had to move from my last place.
Did you?
It was
too many?
Up. Yeah. Lovely bay trees there, though. I mean, you know, they grow beautifully. So I moved to a cottage without a garden. I thought I'd be able to break the habit if I didn't get a garden. It's good to have young people around, you've got kids, to do the technical stuff. Can you make this work? Can you put the sock cable into the sack?
So do you hire them in, or have you got sort of friends
that
are young?
Yeah, I've got young friends. I think that's quite important.
It is. I think it's important, too.
And do you still have ambition, Jenny? And the same question to you, Judith.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
might be contributing to anxiety and anger because it's very hard to hold on to ambition, I think. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, although at what point can one let go? It's very hard in a world where, you know, as we know, you get to a certain age, you're invisible, you're not sexy anymore, and no one really wants to employ you. Oh, you're yesterday's
person. Who are you looking at when you say things like
that? I'm looking at all of us.
Well, I think your ambition has to change in a sort of practical kind of way. You can't say, oh, I am ambitious to be on primetime television anymore. That's ridiculous. But I can still be ambitious as a writer.
So what are your ambitions as a writer?
My ambitions as a writer is to keep writing decent novels and to hopefully be able to write other live performance projects that are over and above what I have done before.
Right. Okay, let's revisit the Bodo Babies then. What about you, Judith?
I think I'm much less ambitious than I was. I think my life is so much better stripped of a lot of the ambition in it. But
did you achieve a lot of the ambition
yes, I did. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Make the money you wanted?
Mostly.
Good.
But,
all good.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes. That's a bloody good question. Mostly
Thank
I did.
You. Thank you. Did you? What? Make the money I wanted.
And fulfil the ambitions you had.
Yes, but I think I lost my ambition, getting a bit deep here, when after Mark died, because I suddenly looked around at everybody scrabbling for the same job.
This was your boyfriend.
Yeah, boyfriend who died of a thing called Marfan syndrome when I was 29. And I was very ambitious, and then it just suddenly left me. And I thought, I don't know quite what I'm struggling for here. What is the point of this struggle?
Because it seemed less important.
It seemed
compared
much
to...
less important. And it's what was important to me was to have a nice life and to not be constantly in a state of anxiety. You know, I remember having this discussion with you about going up for jobs and somebody getting a job that you didn't get and you feeling rage about it. You know, I mean, this rage thing is very apparent, especially in the profession that we've chosen, which is all about vomiting your emotional guts when you go and see people for a job, leaving, thinking, oh, I really messed that up, not getting the job, hating yourself, hating everyone else, and then doing it all again. It's not like a normal job in the bank where you go in, somebody gives you a job, you go, thank you very much, and you stay there until you're 60 and you just get a salary.
Contractually, you have to keep proving yourself. I mean, it's
each
not
time,
just...
each new job, even when you get to 60, 70, talking to an actress who shall be nameless about this the other day, and she said, you know, every time you're being judged, even if she said, even though I'm going up for old bag parts, I'm still being judged on how old baggy I am, and am I a difficult old bag?
I think that if you're freelance in the way that I've been over a number of years, is that there is a little bit more control because I'm not going up for parts. I don't audition for things. I, you know, create my own work and get it on. I mean, and the thing is, nobody really stops you from putting a show on in a room above a pub.
No.
And if it goes down to that level, I'm still quite happy because I'm still creating a piece of work and getting it out there, even if there's 15 people
That's
there.
Right. Good.
And well, what
I think we're being wound up.
Yeah, poor Daisy. She's got kids to pick up from school.
She popped
Daisy.
Down.
Yeah,
she popped down. I hope you haven't got to edit this bollocks.
Yes, she has. The only thing we're taking out is the dog.
No, we're not.
Yeah, no, take the dog out.
Do a little woof. He doesn't woof.
The dog was was the least interesting thing here, I think, today.
Does it make any noises?
Not really.
I'm going to do one for him, just in case people don't believe this dog. Okay. Does this sound like Dolly? Okay, it's a boy dog called Dolly.
Dolly is a girl's name.
Oh, so it's a girl dog. Sorry, I got confused. Okay, I'll do a girl dog bark.
No, Alzheimer's.
Okay. Okay, it goes like this.
Dolly's definitely looking at that.
Dolly has now gone for Jenny's throat and she is dead.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.